And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody will be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes around? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle of rum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come.
Well, greetings, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy joining you live right here tonight on WWCR Around the World. Moving right along, part two of The Secret in the Mountain. You don't want to miss tonight's exciting show, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a lot of scriptures to lay on you on behalf of this exciting series that we're doing on the stone that the builders rejected. That's in the book of Matthew, of course, and it is 21:42. You'll find it in Mark chapter 12, verse 10. You'll find it stated again in Luke chapter 20 and verse 17. You'll find it stated as Peter declared that the Messiah was the stone in Acts 4:11, and in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7, it's the New Testament's most repeated phrase. Repetition is the teacher's most powerful tool. And so evidently, these believers and writers of the script who inspired them are trying to get us to listen up. Now, how does the rejected stone become the capstone? Well, ladies and gentlemen, because he is the stone that rejected the builders. Did you know in the Greek rendering of this particular verse of scripture that it says that it wasn't the builders that rejected the stone, but it was the stone that rejected the builders? In other words, it is the Creator who appoints the believer, not the believer who appoints the Creator. Ladies and gentlemen, it is not you that chooses Him. It is Him that chooses you. And so, if you won't then know the truth, and the Bible said the truth will make you free, well, all you've got to do is to be a sheep of His pastor. You have to be chosen before the foundation of the world. And we know that if you are a stone, and you have the stone shepherd, which is mentioned in Genesis chapter 49, verse 24, that he would be the stone shepherd. Ladies and gentlemen, the stone shepherd is the one that is mentioned in Psalms 118, verse 22. Praise Yahweh. Listen as we read. The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. If you notice in the scriptures here of the 21st century King James Version, it is the stone which the builders refused has become the head stone of the corner. And ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly correct, for it is mentioned in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 through 8. Listen to me as I read. For in Scripture it says, "See, I lay in Zion a chosen and precious cornerstone, and the one who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. Now to you who believe, this stone is precious. But to those who do not believe, the stone the builders rejected has become the capstone." So irregardless, ladies and gentlemen, whether you reject Him or accept Him, it doesn't change the fact that He is the capstone. Now we go back to the time of the pyramids in Egypt, and in 19, Isaiah, verse 19, the 19th chapter of the book of Isaiah, 19th verse, it is stated that there shall be a altar to Yahweh. This altar is the beautiful, majestic pyramid that is built. There were three pyramids there, ladies and gentlemen, representing the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. These were aligned with the constellation of Orion. It's amazing how that Yahweh has appointed us a directory and a altar in the midst of Egypt at the border thereof. Did you know that at the time that this was written, not many people knew that Egypt was divided into upper and lower? And it's right at the border between the upper and lower Egypt. We have the pyramids. If you was to actually press out all of the earth into one area on the earth, the pyramids would be built right in the center. And the pyramids are 13 acres in coverage to represent the 13 tribes with the rejected stone. Now, it's not they that rejected the stone. It became a choice of the stone to reject those who built upon the foundation. Paul said, "Take heed how you build, because every man's works is going to be tried by fire." You know that fire could not burn the pyramids. They are stone. So if you are built upon the foundation of the prophets, the Messiah himself being the chief cornerstone that is stated in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 6 and 7 and 8, for in Scripture I lay a stone in Zion. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a precious and a chosen. It's not you that chose the stone. It is the stone that chose you. You're not the builder of this foundation. You're just the believer of the builder. The builder and the maker is Almighty God, Yahweh in the flesh body. And so then, the scriptures, when it says the head of the corner will be rejected, it was only rejected of those to whom it was given to reject. And if it was accepted of them, it was given to them to accept before the foundation of the world. Are you understanding my message here tonight? Ladies and gentlemen, in part two of The Great Secret, well, you say, Pastor Buddy, what is the secret that is written about in the book of Psalms 118, verse 22. The answer is that the stone being rejected by the builders, that's the Babylonian builders, that is the Antichrist builders, that is those that seem right, that they would reject the true name and bring in a name through the Catholic core church. Ladies and gentlemen, if we go into the New Testament, we find that the New Testament was kept under wraps for at least 1,400 years after the death of the Messiah. Now why? Why is it that there was no printed text for the regular layman as he struggled to learn the New Covenant? But you see, ladies and gentlemen, there is no New Covenant to say. The New Covenant is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The Old Covenant was a Christ that attempted to go with His people and to share with His people and to walk among His people. But in a theocratical government, He was rejected. His own received Him not. They desired a king. And so Saul, in place of the holy altar or the great capstone or the faith stone, we walk by faith and not by sight. Israel wanted to see something, and they wanted a king like the heathen nations around them. And so then the spiritual house of the Old Testament was left void. Now the spiritual house without sight, we walk by faith. Remember that now this building is a spiritual house that is mentioned in Peter's gospel, as he says, this building is the spiritual house in the fifth verse, and was chosen as the Messiah to be the capstone of the building made up of the believers that would hereafter believe upon Him and walk by faith. According to one Bible commentator, another meaning for capstone is this: to increase personal knowledge of the living Word. Now that means to have a direct encounter or relationship with the capstone. Now the capstone is the head of the body. Christ is the head of the church. And to Him we look through faith, not by sight. We don't see Him sitting in a throne in Jerusalem as the Antichrist are trying to place Him, a figurehead. We're more caught up in the election process here in America at this time. Ladies and gentlemen, Tuesday will be the election of the president, and I gave you the prophecy of a woman from Scotland that prophesied in 1956 that a black man would become president of the United States of America, and that 30 days after the inauguration that there would be a world war as a result of a nuclear strike by Iran against Israel, and that Obama, a man by the name of Obama would become president, and that he would order a retaliatory strike against Iran on behalf of Israel that had been nuked by Iran. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned, for great things are about to happen on the chief cornerstone. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 16. Listen. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation. Now, isn't it strange that the stone is the capstone, but it is the foundation that is built from the top down? Isn't that incredible? Well, ladies and gentlemen, one of the great mysteries of the pyramids is who designed them, who erected them, and you know, people would believe, have you believe, that it was the dumb Egyptians that built the pyramids. But long before the race of Ham, the Egyptian race, came in to settle the land. They were just the common people at the time that the Hyksos, the shepherd kings, were in Israel. They are the actual ones that built the pyramids through the direction of the scientific knowledge of the Creator. It is the Creator who erected, and it's stated in Matthew chapter 19, verse 19, that there will be an altar to Yahweh. This altar was built by the sons of El, the sons of Yahweh. And they built this as a memorial, a foundation stone that is mentioned in Isaiah 28:16, that it would be a stone for a foundation. It would be a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation, and that whosoever believed in him would not act hastily. In Matthew 21:42, the Messiah said, "Have you never read in the Scriptures the stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone? This is Yahweh's doing, and it's marvelous in your eyes. Therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it." The people that would have the knowledge would be the enlightened ones, the remnant that was scattered in 721 B.C. out of the nations of Israel. The word nation is the houses or the sons of Jacob. The 13 sons became the 13 nations scattered abroad. The 13 nations are the ones that rejected him as their king and desired a heathen king likened unto the heathen nations round about. And so therefore Yahweh gave them up to lust or worship the host and the host of heaven. And ladies and gentlemen, the rejection of the Hebrew Messiah by his own countrymen was Yahweh's doing, and it was planned before the foundation of the world that in ancient times the cornerstone was the stone of the corner of the two walls that united them. It was the visible corner of the foundation of the building and the starting point of all future building above the foundation. It was the most costly stone because of its beauty and strength, and it was also the largest, and it was the most solid and carefully constructed stone. And to cast aside the cornerstone would be to resist any future building on that foundation, for without the cornerstone or the capstone, the building cannot be completed. He was not only the cornerstone, but he was the chief cornerstone. The stone is mentioned in the book of Daniel as cut out of the mountains without hands and broken in pieces and consuming all kingdoms. The stone broke in pieces and consumed all kingdoms and became a mountain that filled the whole earth. How wonderful is Yahweh. Ladies and gentlemen, in the book of Haggai, chapter 2, verse 9, and in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 10, Peter gives the details concerning the Messiah as the chief cornerstone. And in Romans 9:32 and 33, Paul the Apostle speaks about the Messiah as the stone. And the Psalms of 113, verses 118, were sung at various festivals, or the Psalms 113 through 118, to indicate that they would be singing to the rock. And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible said if these hold their peace, the stones will cry out. Don't you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the final song was the hymnal sung by his disciples as he left them for his passion in Gethsemane before he was taken and arrested and condemned to die in the second Passover. Oh my, ladies and gentlemen, I'll have you to know that the stone that was rejected, all that will ever come to him as a living stone. You are a lively stone. You are a precious stone, and you are a stone accepted by the rejected stone, meaning that you are the one that would become the chief cornerstone in the diamonds and the crown of his wonderful pyramid of the makeup of the 144,000. Did you know that it is reported by the experts that have seen the pyramids in Egypt? Did you know that it is stated that the pyramid stones that are present now at one time were covered with covering stones? And there were 144,000 slabs of limestone, highly polished limestone, that was stripped away by the people of the race of Ham in Egypt as they favored tearing down this great altar to Yahweh, not knowing the significance of this great altar in the midst of Egypt. And ladies and gentlemen, they stripped away the covering stones so that they could build buildings of their own choosing throughout the land of Egypt. 144,000 of these highly polished, decorated stones. Well, it just so happens to be that in the book of Revelations, chapter 6, that it mentions 144,000 stones that became a bride, and that they were taken out of the earth, just like the stones were stripped away from the ancient edifice in Egypt. For out of Egypt, he said, I have called my son. You are his son, called through the holy anointing of the power of his calling. And you, like Jonah, although you didn't ask for it, you didn't seek him, you didn't desire it, yet he found you. And when he anointed you and gave you the knowledge that he was the stone that the builders would reject, however, he is the stone that rejected the builders and chose you. Of all people, the fewest people on earth, as it's recorded in the book of Deuteronomy, oh my, ladies and gentlemen, in chapter 7, he talks about a people that would be the least people on the earth, and that these people would be the ones who would be chosen, and by being chosen, they would be part of the makeup or the foundation of the stones that were laid in Zion. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that you are part of this wonderful, wonderful cosmic makeup of the stone that the builders rejected? In Psalms 117, it is a song of praise for the great Passover of Yahweh from death to eternity. And here we are through the resurrection stones as they rose in his first resurrection, 144,000 of those infants that died for him on behalf of him were the types of the covering of the great altar of the 13-acre edifice, or the stones that were gathered together, and out of Egypt they came 2.5 million people in the exodus of the house of Israel as they left the land of darkness, symbolizing Egypt, Egypt symbolizing darkness, into the wilderness where we ourselves as believers must wander in this lost, dark, forbidden, and foreboding world filled with darkness and anger and hatred and spiritual Babylon. But out of that shall come forth a people, refined as silver is refined. All of the dross will be burnt off. The chaff will be blown off of the great wheat that is gathered into the pyramidal granary of faith that is impossible to have and without the resurrection. And as we talked about in part one, the place that Jacob slept upon this mountain and the great secret that is in this mountain is the great and the magnanimous and the most magnificent of all names, proving beyond a shadow of a doubt before the foundation of the world that Yahweh wrote his name, sealed it as the great artist and the designer of the great pyramids and the stones that the builders would reject, and that those who were taken in the first resurrection, 144,000 of those that rose with him, according to Matthew chapter 27, verse 51 through 58, we know that there came out after his resurrection a host of those called the bride, and these are they that will walk with him in white. And then, as he is going to return, not for the bride, he's done got her in the first resurrection, ladies and gentlemen. He's coming back in the second phase, where we proclaimed that the messianic entrance of the Messiah is coming, when they shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of Yahweh. Oh my. In Matthew chapter 21, it indicates that, as it did in Psalms 117, verse 26, the acclamation is framed by Hosanna, and it takes the Hebrew petition that it is a people that are crying out and saying, save us. Save us, as it's mentioned in Acts chapter 2, from this untoward generation. Peter mentioned in Acts 4:11 and 12 that this stone would be rejected by the blind Edomites, the evil ones that claimed to be Jews and were not. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a truth that the devil despises. I have been actually shut down on the radio, my connection pulled, simply because some engineer didn't like the message that I was preaching and was angry because it wasn't according to the church tradition. And ladies and gentlemen, mercy translates the Hebrew word hist, that designates this toward a covenant people. And these people are faithful, and they are the priest in the righteous robes of revelation, as the name come forth from the hills of Bethel, the original Bethlehem. And we offer $5,000 for anyone to prove that Christ was a Jew, or that Christ was from the tribe of Judah, and that David was a Jew, or that he was from the tribe of Judah, because we have already confirmed, and will in the third part of our message, will confirm that David was from the house of Joseph, and that Christ, in his mercy, and in the birthright fulfillment, ladies and gentlemen, the Messiah had to come from the birthright tribe. The birthright tribe was not Judah. The birthright tribe was from the house of Joseph. And Christ, he epitomizes the nature of Joseph, not Judah. Judah was crafty and dominant. He ruled over his brothers through force. And if you've ever read the book of Jasher, you know that he was a very physical being. That when he roared in Egypt, that women miscarried because of the roar of Judah. And the Bible says in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 verses 1 that he would rule through prevailing over the house of Israel. When the brothers removed Joseph, the rejected stone, a perfect type, ladies and gentlemen, and they moved him out of the 12 tribes, then there become 11 tribes that wandered without a kinsman redeemer. The 11 tribes became lost, finally the 10 lost tribes, as the house of Benjamin miscegenated into the southern house of Judah. And so therefore the 10 lost tribes wandered for years and hundreds of years until the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled, and in the last days there shall come a prophet or prophets that will bring back the revelation and the truth of these wonderful old sayings that is a true proverb, a rolling stone gathers no moss. So the 10 tribes became rolling stones. And from that, we know, ladies and gentlemen, in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4, that this precious stone would be a remnant of a people that would remember their Maker. And when they were cast out of the land of milk and honey, Israel, Palestine, that they would wander for hundreds of years before returning to the God of Jacob. Oh my, I feel the Shekinah of the anointing of the great revelation of that resurrection bone that we mentioned in part one of the secret on the mountain, the great name. We have a map that has a picture at Bethel. And there, ladies and gentlemen, was discovered the great name of Yahweh written in the stones of the earth, ladies and gentlemen. And as the rejected stone, this was the lost stone of the birthright territory of where Yahweh chose to put his name. And the rejecting and the dishonoring of leaving Bethel as the precious place, the anointed place, or the redemption place would only be for a times and season until the times of the Gentiles would be fulfilled, and then the truth would come back and the rejected stone would once again be laid, a sure foundation stone, and he that believeth on this stone, or this name, this is the name that was set at naught of the builders, and neither is there salvation in any other name, for there is none other name given under heaven whereby that a man can be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is that the stone in rejection became the stone of acceptance to the remnant that is mentioned in the book of Deuteronomy. I have not chosen you because you were the most people, but I have chosen you because you were the fewest people upon the earth. This is the stone that is laid in Zion. This is the stone that will fill the whole earth. This is the stone, ladies and gentlemen, that is coming back to wear the crown. This is the stone that was written about in the Bible. This is the prophetic stone. This is the hidden stone that is just now in the last days, and Yahweh is raising up prophets to return the remnant of the two houses to reunite and come together with not Judah as the chosen people, but as Joseph, the chosen people, and we, ladies and gentlemen, will become part of that great and that marvelous piece of history that will designate that we are the stone shepherd And kia, it means because, or it means of his substance. And Lutz is Bethel, or the cold spine, or the crooked spine. At the top of the spine of Bethel lays what is known as the top bone in the spine, the resurrection bone. And below that is Yahweh. And below that is Ephraim, designating the house of Joseph as the accepted carriers of the great stone. And ladies and gentlemen, I could not teach you or preach to you in a day and a night or a week or a month. It would take to examine the great historical significance of the history of the wandering of the house of Israel through the Caucasus Mountains. Ladies and gentlemen, and the Caucasians gained their fame and their name from these beautiful mountains and these rugged hills that they crossed on their long trek into the British Isles out of the southern slopes of Russia on the edge of the Ukraine, across these mountains of the Caucasus, and there they found the refuge that Yahweh promised them, and that they would become a people that would fill the whole earth as the sand of the sea and the stars of the sky. Ladies and gentlemen, don't you know that the time of fulfillment of this great stone at Bethel is the stone that will return the truth to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? There has to be something, ladies and gentlemen. There has to be something that will return the house to its proper resting place. The capstone must be placed. And after the capstone is placed, ladies and gentlemen, the stone of stone will become once again my people, which are called by my name. And they will humble themselves, and they will pray, and they will seek his face, and they will turn from their wicked ways, and he will hear from heaven, and he will forgive their sins, and he will again return to them and say, it is my people, and his people shall say, it is Yahweh. The scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, are full of references to the stones, both literal and symbolic. The stone that is identified upon which the patriarch Jacob rested his head when he dreamed of a heavenly ladder, of the stone that was not received by the world, but was rejected in general, but accepted by the few. You see, ladies and gentlemen, he didn't choose you because you were the most people. He chose you because you were the fewest people, and he knew that the stone would be rejected. The one that Jacob anointed, the one that the sons of Joseph carried as a memorial after the death of Jacob. It was Joseph that buried his father. It was Joseph who inherited the precious possessions of Jacob, and it included the stone that Jacob carried as a reminder and a memorial that he anointed with oil and declared it to be the stone that the builders would reject. Jacob even gave the prophecy in the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. It says that when the Messiah comes after me, when the great stone shepherd, king of Israel, when he comes, that is written in Genesis chapter 49 verse 22 through 24, the stone shepherd will be from the house of Ephraim, Joseph. Oh my. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the birthright tribe, and the Messiah was an Ephraimite. I've got $10,000 to prove anybody that can prove otherwise. And we've got his genealogy down pat, ladies and gentlemen. If you want the genealogy of the birth of the Messiah and the birth of David and the house that Christ the Messiah, the stone shepherd, came from, then you don't want to miss part three of The Secret in the Mountain, where Pastor Buddy will be declaring the genealogy downline through the written and the hidden word, and we're bringing to light things that have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Did you know that the Jews are the ones that deceive the people by saying that Christ would be born in Bethlehem of Judea, when the prophet said he would be born in Bethlehem Ephratah, which is Bethel, according to Genesis 35:19, and according to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that the house of Ephratah, that is Strong's number, 673, which means a descendant of Joseph. So, ladies and gentlemen, do your homework. Study to show yourself approved, workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Check the descendants of Jacob. The past will declare the truth of the future. And here it is, 2,000 years later, after the advent of the son of Joseph, Christ, the Redeemer, from the bloodline of Joseph. And the pertinent historical writings are visible evidence worthy of your consideration, ladies and gentlemen. And we have proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that Jacob Stone is the house of God, or Yahweh, and it exists today, and it bears witness to God's amazing plan for the whole planet and for the soon coming kingdom and his children that will inherit it from the foundation of the world, that was chosen before the world, that loved the stone, but whomsoever this stone will fall upon. Daniel saw it hewed out of the mountain, and it came down the mountain and tore down the kingdoms of the world. It's called the Stone of Bethel. It is called the Stone of Scone. And ladies and gentlemen, right now it rests, as it has for hundreds of years, after about 1,200 years, going back to the house of Manasseh in England. Finally, in 1996, it returned to Scotland, the house of Joseph. And there, ladies and gentlemen, it rests as the coronation stone of the kings. And we told you that the pillars that the kings of Israel were anointed on is this precious stone. This is the stone that Moses struck, and out of it came running water. Amazing to see the sons of Joseph hold the stone of Jacob, the one he anointed at Bethel, where the name of Yahweh prevailed. And Moses struck the stone, and out of this stone that was held in the hands of the birthright house of Joseph came living water flowing, and the Bible said that stone was Christ the Anointed, or the Messiah made flesh that dwelt among us. For in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, the Word was Yah, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. So then, the manifestation of the stone that the builders rejected, of course they didn't want him to be. Jacob declared through prophecy in Genesis chapter 49 and verse 10 concerning his son Judah. He said, Judah, the stone or the scepter will not depart from you until the Messiah comes. And ladies and gentlemen, that Messiah, the one that you know as Jesus, the one that the New Testament to be Jesus the Messiah, who was Yahweh in a flesh body in the Hebrew, came into this world to be rejected by those that rejected the stone, but accepted by those sacred. For behold, I lay in Zion the stone. He came into Zion, and they killed him, but he rose again, and he took the 144,000 of the polished limestone blocks, representing the 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes of the house of Israel. He took them up in the first resurrection, going to return with his bride, the resurrection stone, in the name of Bethel, which is representing the word Bethel, which means the resurrection bone of the spine, and at Peniel, which is the third eye, ladies and gentlemen, only those who have anointed in the single eye can see this revelation that I'm talking about. And we'll cover the stone at Peniel when we move from Bethel to Kia in Lutz and confirm that this is in the geography, the chosen Bethel of Genesis 35, verse 19, which was the original Bethlehem. And the Jews have come along, created a southern Bethlehem, changed the truth into a lie, worshiped the creature more than the creator, cast the truth to the ground and prospered. And ladies and gentlemen, Yahweh wanted to have it so. He had planned it that he would be rejected. Rejected by those who should have accepted him, and was accepted by those who should have rejected. It's not of your doing, ladies and gentlemen. The stone that he placed at his head, and when he lay down in that place to sleep, when he dreamed, and behold, a ladder was set up on the earth, and its top reached into the heaven, and the angels of the Creator ascended and descended, and behold, the Eternal stood above it and said, I am Yahweh, the Eternal Creator of Abraham your father, and the Creator, Yahweh, of Isaac, the land of which that you sleep and lie in. I will give it to you and your descendants. Also your descendants shall be as the dust of the earth. Oh my! You shall spread abroad to the west. Oh, ladies and gentlemen, what a prophetic utterance. As the main body of the house of Joseph came to America, the west, just like the father prophesied that Jacob's seed would become like the dust of the earth. The 12 tribes scattered abroad, ladies and gentlemen, and you know that that little sandbox over there that they call Israel, that has the name or the caption of the name Israel, that is just a geographical place where we used to be. As it's recorded in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 10, we left that little sandbox. It wasn't big enough to hold us. As we begin to expand and multiply as the sand of the sea, Yahweh expanded us out to inherit the whole earth. From the east, we came, and to the west, we came, and to the north, and to the south. And in your seed, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Behold, I am with you. I will keep you wherever you go, and I will bring you back to this land, for I will not leave you until I have done what I have spoken unto you. And then Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Eternal Yahweh is in this place, and I did not know it. And he was afraid, and he said, how awesome is this place? This is none other than the house of God, and this is the eternal place of the Creator. This is the gate into the heaven of Yahweh. And then Jacob rose early in the morning and took the stone that he had put at his head and set it up as a pillar and poured oil upon top of it, and he called the name of that place Bethel, but the name of the city that had been Luz previously. And then Jacob made a vow, saying, if the Creator, Eternal One, Yahweh, will be with me and keep me in this way, that I am going and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I will come back to my Father's house in peace, then I will bow before my Eternal Creator, and this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be the Creator's house. And of all that I give, all that you give me, I will surely give a tenth unto you. Genesis 28, verses 10 through verse 22. The scripture, ladies and gentlemen, it deals with Jacob in the place of the secret. This is where his name, the name of the Eternal Creator, is written with the finger of God. You got to see it, ladies and gentlemen. It's marvelous that God would write his name in Hebrew upon this great mountain. That he would write his signature name in the earth. Every knee is going to bow to it, ladies and gentlemen. And every tongue is going to confess to it that Yahweh is the eternal mighty one that Jacob declared. And his seed and his sheep will not stray from that. And when they hear a preacher anointed and bringing the gospel and revelation, they will not turn away from it, but they will walk in and say, this is the place of the living eternal Creator. This is the house of bread. This is the stone that was rejected by all of those who were not his. But his sheep would hear his voice. And as Jacob returned from the journey, from Beersheba to Padan Aram, mentioning a certain sunset and stones, for pillars seen incidental, but suddenly one of those stones is brought into great distinction. The fact which brought that special stone into such prominence is the account of what I have preached to you tonight. It is laying in the nation of Scotland again, embedded under the throne where kings have been crowned and where queens have sat in amazement. This is the stone, the sacred pillar. His name recorded that lives eternally. No one can deny it, ladies and gentlemen. And we have the evidence here for you tonight. If you would like to write me for this evidence of the stone, the great, magnificent, eternal name of the eternal Creator Yahweh, written in Hebrew, upon the mountain of Bethel, the house of El, or the house of God, or the house of bread, where it's designated in the territory of Joseph, Ephraim. And the name Ephraim is written in Aramaic Hebrew, just below the name of Yahweh. So Yahweh signed his birthright signature, and his name is recorded in the mountains of Bethel, which according to the book of Genesis 35, verse 19, Luz was Bethel, which is Bethlehem. That's the original Bethlehem, ladies and gentlemen. But we've been changed by the lion pen of the scribes to focus on Bethlehem, Judea, instead of Bethlehem, Bethel, Ephratah. And so you have my message tonight. If you'd like to write me, you can write me at Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now that's Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. If you'd like to call me, I'm live tonight here on November the 2nd. And if you would like to write me in the year of 2008, you just write Pastor Buddy or call me at area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to call my sponsor tonight, Dr. Gary, 1-877-289-7439, or Brother Paul at 1-800-253-2748. You can do so. Well, ladies and gentlemen, don't miss next Sunday night as we get into this exciting conclusion of the series of The Secret on the Mountain. If you'd like to have this map of the name, write me and I'll send it to you free and postpaid. You'll listen to The Shepherd's Call and Pastor Buddy live tonight on WWCR around the world on the Transmitting Jewel of the South. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time is come and gone. I've got to get out of here. I'll see you next Sunday night with part three of The Secret on the Mountain. Yahweh bless you. Shalom.
Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around. Whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured hundredweight and penny pound. When the man comes around.